Good evening and welcome to First Baptist Church, Bowling Green, Kentucky, for another special edition of Wednesday Night Worship. And we are so excited to hear from Lauren Parrish tonight as we continue on our journey through faith stories. We're looking at Hebrews 11 and all the great heroes of the faith from the Old Testament, but we also want to hear stories of great brothers and sisters in Christ right here in our community. And so we're excited to get to hear from Lauren Parrish, our minister to children, right here at First Baptist Church. Before we begin, let's pray together. Father, we love you and we thank you so much for this opportunity to hear the power of a story, of a life that has been and continues to be transformed by your grace. And so, Lord, we thank you for Lauren. We thank you for her journey. And we pray, Lord, that as we hear of her journey in Christ, that you would inspire us and show us just how you might even interact with us in our lives. By your grace, we ask your blessing on our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we said, Lauren Parrish serves as our minister to children here at First Baptist Church. And at the time of this recording, she's been in that role for just over 4 months. And it's been an eventful 4 months. And so you came in October and orchestrated what is our largest and most impactful trunk or treat we've ever had. And then we got right into the holidays. We got right into Advent. And then a tornado, actually several tornadoes, hit our region, and you jumped in to helping us help others and played such a key role in opening our facility and making sure that our church was positively impacting the community. So thank you for that. But also, I have to say, as one who has a child in our children's ministry, you've also come in and just so quickly and so profoundly impacted children and families here at First Baptist Church. And so it is our joy to get to hear from you today. And what we'd love to do is just hear the beginning of your story. Tell us about your life as God has brought you to this point.
Sure. Well, it's a joy to be here. Thank you for asking me. A little bit of my story. I was born in Orlando, Florida, into a wonderful Christian home. I have wonderful parents. I have three older brothers, so I've got my own little security squad around me. It's great. But we moved to Dayton, Ohio shortly after that, and my mom jumped back into ministry. She's been a children's minister for a majority, if not all, of my life.
Wow.
And she and my dad just created a wonderful environment at home where Jesus was first. Mm. And I'm so thankful for that. And as I grew up, I knew who Jesus was. I knew exactly what it meant to put him center. But I think for a lot of that time, there's this whole different set of struggles that comes with growing up in the church.
Yeah.
Because you have a hard time figuring out how to make your faith your own.
Yeah.
Just because you're so surrounded with it. And so I did, when I was 8 years old, choose to follow Jesus and make him the Lord of my life.
Yeah.
And that was a precious time for me. But of course, those years following, it was quite the journey. So I had that experience. I was baptized in First Baptist Church Kettering in Dayton, Ohio. And I continued to walk in my faith and to grow, sometimes more slowly than others. But I did continue on that way. And the Lord brought to me this love of music that I didn't know I would have. And so much of my childhood was moving in that direction and seeing what the Lord had for me in my music and in my singing. And so I was in all the choirs and all of the show choirs for 7 years, singing and dancing in sparkly dresses. So, you know, so that was a lot of fun to get to do that. And then God made it clear to me that I was supposed to go to college and study vocal performance. And so that's what I did. And college was a bit of a struggle. I was not necessarily surrounded by people that were edifying, and
sure.
And so that was hard for me because you want to fit in, right?
Yeah.
And so that was not necessarily as much of a seasonal growth as I would have liked. And it was in college. I had come home for the summer and was helping out at a youth leadership summer camp. And I felt the Lord telling me that I needed to be sure of, yeah, of my salvation. And so I was sitting in this family group and teaching these youth, and I was like, wow, I just feel like something's missing. There's a depth missing. And so I was able to pray with my pastor's wife at the time, and she just helped me to walk through that and to really go to the next level in my walk with the Lord. And I'm so thankful for that moment. And yeah, I really thought that the Lord was going to have me perform in that season. But He very clearly closed all of those doors. And I knew early on definitely in high school at least, that I was called to the ministry. Mm-hmm. And so I knew that kids ministry was coming. I just thought it was going to be later. And that's not what happened. The Lord said it was time. And wow. So I was able to, after about 2 years of just working in a preschool, the Lord called me to go ahead and start applying for jobs. And I was called to Versailles Baptist in Versailles, Kentucky, and served there for almost 5 years when the Lord threw me a curveball. And I was on a short-term mission trip when we were reading 1 Corinthians and talking about Paul's urge for people to be single if that's what the Lord had called them to. And, you know, I'd kind of at that time been struggling with my singleness. I was like, Paul, I get it. I'm not called to singleness, you know. But he made it very clear as we were going through this mission trip that the Lord was calling me to something else in that season.
Yeah.
That while I didn't have anything tying me down, it was time to go.
Yeah.
And so I had been working with a ministry in South Asia and selling some jewelry for them. And I got to go meet them in 2017. I went for 2 weeks then. And so the Lord made it clear that that's where I was going. Now, I started my process with the IMB, and I was fighting it as much as humanly possible. I was asking every question you can ask. Can I go for a month? Can I go for 3 months? Would that be possible? How about a year? Okay. There were a lot of moments in that time where there were, of course, that's what happened moments.
Yeah.
So I remember calling the IMB, and they were asking me about being a journeyman. And I said, but journeyman term ends at 26. And they said, actually, we just extended it last month to 30. I said, of course you did.
That's right.
Of course you did. So there were lots and lots and lots of those moments. But through that came so much clarity.
Yeah.
That's what I was supposed to do. And so I moved forward with that process and went to my expo, as they call it, where you pick your job, and they handed me my job that had been tailor-made to me.
Wow.
And we moved forward. I went to my orientation later in 2019, and so I left for the field in October of 2019. And then, let's see, what was that, 4 months later? That
thing something happened. Big happened on the world scale.
Yeah, it did. Then a pandemic hit.
Yeah.
So that was fun. But the Lord was so faithful. For a long time, I struggled to understand why did you bring me 7,000 miles away for me to sit in my apartment? But He made it clear, and He was so, so good through it. Mm. There were many, many opportunities that I would have never, ever seen coming through that. Because I was in lockdown, I had already had 4 months of language study over there and had built a lot of relationships, so that was good. But then when we shut down, I had to kind of change what my language study looked like. And so we went from being able to use, you know, wordless picture books, children's picture books, and me describing everything to where we couldn't do that anymore.
Right.
And so I was able to start meeting with my language tutor on Messenger, on Facebook Messenger video. And so I was able to start translating Bible stories just from my language was not very good. Okay. So I was trying, and then I was like, well, she can fix it. Well, through me reading those and her fixing it, me explaining in English what I'm trying to say and her fixing it, she's hearing the gospel. She's hearing the Bible. And she asked the most incredible questions. I've never heard somebody ask questions like she asked. And so I could tell it was starting to get in there. Mm-hmm. She'd heard the gospel so many times.
Sure.
Thousands of times. She was surrounded by believers. And so it was just an incredible experience to get to have those interactions with her. And then my neighbor downstairs was a weaver of what they call a pongden. It's an apron that the ladies wear, and it's made of wool. And so all day long, you just hear this of the loom downstairs. And it became this comforting sound of someone's around me. And so I was able to take those Bible stories that I had translated and take them downstairs and sit on the step next to her and just say, hey, can I practice some of my language with you?
Wow.
And so I started sharing the stories with her. But I couldn't understand very well because, one, she was from another village. And so this was not her first language.
Sure, sure.
And it wasn't my first language either. And so I tried to answer as many questions as I could, but it was just really sweet to build those relationships. And it was good.
That's awesome.
It was hard. But it was good.
I can only imagine. Yeah. 7,000 miles away from home on the other side of the world. And a pandemic hits, and there you are. And it's amazing how God opened doors for ministry and how God knew that plan long before you ever went. He knew that you would interact with those two ladies, and He knew that you would have time to be still before Him. And I think as Americans, we all struggle with stillness to some degree, but what a lesson. Well, I want to ask you a couple of questions because you come from obviously a unique environment, having a mom who was involved in ministry. And so I'm taking notes as someone who's in ministry raising kids. You turned out pretty good. So that's good because that's not always the case.
My brothers did too.
Oh, well, there you go. I mean, look at there.
Four out of four.
So your mom needs to write a book about how to make this work. But so many people, Lauren, and I'm one of those people, so many of us have struggled with the notion of what some would call a boring testimony. Mm-hmm. And frankly, what I mean by a boring testimony is, well, my parents took me to church when I was a kid, and I heard about Jesus my whole life, and then I came to faith in Christ and professed my faith by way of biblical baptism, and then navigated my journey with Jesus. And so as a children's minister, who is working primarily with people who are receiving the blessing of having parents bring them to church, to Sunday school, to various activities. How has your quote unquote boring, and it's not boring, but quote unquote boring testimony helped you in your ministry to those children whose parents are making that strategic spiritual investment in their lives?
Yeah. So this is something I actually struggled with for a really long time, and then I heard a quote from somebody, which I can't quote exactly, but that a boring testimony is one of the sweetest blessings you can have.
Absolutely.
And so I had to come to terms with the fact that if Jesus is in me and He has changed me, there's nothing boring about it.
Amen.
And that's just, you know, a bridge you had to get over, you know, and to get through that. And so one thing that is so important to me teaching kids is that I help them to understand just how special, just how exciting the gospel is. And so I think of the last kids worship that we had, and we always go through the gospel. Now, what did Jesus do for you? He died on the cross. And then what happened? He rose from the grave. I'm sorry, what? And so we went through this about six times until they were screaming that He rose from the grave, because I was like, guys, can you do that?
Yeah.
You can't do that. But someone can do that for you.
Wow.
And so to help them to understand that one, this is very exciting,
mm-hmm.
and that there's no story like it, and that it's all true. But for them to understand that it was for them.
Yeah.
And for them to come to a personal understanding early. Like, I never want a child to kind of that ask Jesus into your heart over and over and over. I never want that to be the case, but I want them to understand early on how personal it is.
Yeah.
And so start planting those seeds early that there's God who loves them and that they can talk to him anytime they want to, and that he wants a relationship with them mm-hmm. when that time comes.
That's right.
And so that's been very important to me, to make sure that early on that's the message that gets across.
Well, and it's such an important foundation. And another part of your testimony, which is also a part of my testimony, and I think for any of us who have the boring testimony, which is not boring at all. A miracle is never boring, and any sinner coming to faith in Jesus Christ is a miracle. But you also mentioned that there was a time later in your life where you kind of faced a struggle. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that you would call it necessarily a crisis of faith. Maybe you would. I had a few of those moments along the way. But your faith journey has been just that. A journey. It's a relationship with God. And one of the things that's so important is that our faith is not a one-time decision. It's not, oh, I got that taken care of. No, Jesus never said, get this taken care of. He said, follow me. The other thing that I wanted to talk to you about, when we were going through the search process for your position, I got a message from a buddy of mine who works at Versailles Baptist Church. And I didn't know you, but he said, hey, somebody that I know really well is going to apply for this position. You need to know she's amazing. And he was right. But you also need to know that she can sing. And so another thing that you do and have jumped right in to help us do is to help us worship. So talk to us about what it means to you to use the gifts and talents and abilities that God has given you to lead us in worshiping God.
Wow. Leading worship is an absolute joy. There is... there's just something special about it. And I have to say that it has been a struggle since the pandemic and since a lot of things changed during that time. I know that, you know, when I was stuck in my apartment overseas, I was potentially surrounded by people who would get me in trouble if they heard me doing that. And so I was like, okay, be silent. You know, and so I couldn't sing for a majority of that time, which was really difficult for me.
Sure.
But to come back and to be able to freely lift our voices in praise as a church body, as followers of Christ, is so incredibly special. And I think that, like many others, I took it for granted until it was taken away, you know?
Yeah.
And then you come back and you get to do that, and there's just such freedom in it. And that is something I would encourage the church in, is to realize, yes, this is something that we take for granted. When you think about how special, and not just for somebody who loves music, but how special the act of singing and worship is.
Mm-hmm.
And how so many places in the world can't do that.
Yeah.
Their entire act of worship, while yes, is still worship, is silently lip singing songs that they know together.
Wow.
And we get to make sound.
Yeah.
You know? And so I love the opportunity to get to make a joyful noise unto the Lord and to come together as believers and to lift our voices in praise. It's just absolutely precious to me.
Yeah. That's an amazing perspective that you've just shared with us. Again, as Americans, we have our struggles for sure, but there are so many of our brothers and sisters all over the globe who, hear what she just said, they gather in secret and lip sync the lyrics of songs that we get to project on Sunday morning. They lip sync those lyrics in silence, because their lives are on the line if they are found out. And so what a perspective. Thank you for sharing that with us. That's kind of huge. Lauren, one other question we wanted to ask you is, you know, obviously you're in ministry, and there are a lot of people who are participating in this moment who are also in ministry, but there are many who are not. Mm-hmm. And contrary to popular belief, people who are in vocational ministry are people too. And so as a human being, living out your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, how does your faith impact your life today?
Well, today I can say that if I go one morning where I have allowed my schedule to back up and I try to leave that door without getting in the Word, I am going to pay for it. It is so difficult to focus my heart and my mind on Christ without putting Him first. Mm-hmm. And that's going to change the trajectory of your day, is to make sure you're putting God first, because you can't give what you don't have. You can't pour into people if you're empty. And I say this as somebody who has tried to pour into somebody when they were empty, and it just doesn't work.
Amen. I can attest to that myself. And so vitally important that we get in God's Word. And for me too, I have to start with God's Word, because as soon as the rest clutters in, oh, I can have my attention diverted so quickly. Right. Lauren, thank you. Thank you for your time today. Thank you for answering God's call to come to First Baptist Church, Bowling Green, Kentucky, to help our children and our families know what it is to trust and follow Jesus in every moment of life. And what an inspiration to hear her story and to know that as God does great and wonderful things in and through you, He does great and wonderful things in and through all who will trust and follow Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we love You and we thank You so much for Lauren and her family and the powerful, miraculous testimony. So thankful that she had parents who loved her enough to take her to church. And I bet there were even times that she didn't want to go, but her parents took her anyway. And I'm so thankful, Lord, that she has come to faith in Jesus Christ, that she has professed her faith in Jesus Christ, and that she has journeyed in her faith. And Lord, that You have carried her through moments of joy and triumph, and You've carried her through moments of difficulty. And in all those moments, You were there with her as You are with her still. And so, Lord, we pray that You would continue to work in her and through her that which is pleasing in Your sight. And we pray the same thing for us. And we pray that You would use in all of us the gifts and talents and abilities You've given us to be a blessing to the world as we glorify You. And Lord, as we bring our time together to a close, once again, we join our hearts and our minds and our voices to pray that prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us to pray. And in so doing, we will answer the question, whose Father? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you so much for tuning in to worship with us tonight, and we hope you'll join us this Sunday at 11 a.m. as we turn our attention to Jesus together yet again. God bless you.